bringing the light of Jesus Christ to a world darkened with sin. This is the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an outreach ministry of the Progressive Primitive Baptist. Our purpose at the Lighthouse is to present you the truth of God's Word and its relevancy for your daily living. We want to help equip you to light your world with the truth of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is both Lord and Savior. Hello, my name is Scott Lyon, and I invite you to join us now as we study God's Word together. Welcome, and thank you for joining us today at the Lighthouse. I'm your host, Scott Reiner. Today in our study of the book of James, we come to verses 26 and 27 of chapter 1. Here James makes a crucial distinction between true religion and false religion. But the issue that James discusses may surprise you, because it's not one of comparative religions, that is, discussing the differences between Christianity and the false religions of the world. Rather, it's what true Christianity looks like in a very demonstrative way. In other words, for James, one's religion, or living out their faith in concrete ways, can only be viewed as authentic if it reflects the principles that he teaches here. Now, a lot of people talk about being, quote, religious today, but there's very little in the way of actual demonstration. In fact, the lack of demonstration in their religion reveals that it's basically worthless or useless. Religion is more than just what comes out of our mouths. It's also directly related to what we do. And sometimes that includes controlling what does come out of our mouths. Well, if you want to know more about this true religion and whether or not you actually have it, then join with me now as we study James chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. In our continuing study of the book of James, we come now to his closing remarks of this first chapter as he begins to express some of the essential features of what we might call true or authentic religion. In essence, this is what James means by being a doer of the word and not a hearer only. For him, all of this culminates with the actual demonstration of the word of God in one's life. And in verses 26 and 27, he provides illustrations as to how the Word of God is demonstrated in very practical terms. In fact, in these verses, James provides three principal applications that are derived from his teachings. And he associates this with the idea of true religion as seen in contrast to one's religion, which is absolutely meaningless. So this morning, our focus is on true religion and how this is to be demonstrated in one's life. And according to James, there are three areas that we're going to deal with. First of all, true religion is demonstrated by the control of one's tongue. Secondly, true religion is demonstrated by caring for those who are weak and helpless. And then finally, true religion is demonstrated by keeping one's self from being polluted by the world. With those thoughts in mind, read with me from James chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. James writes, "If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." I remember on one occasion as a little boy, we went outside for recess. And as we came to the playground area, I saw something that glittered all of the way across the playground yard. Now, for a young boy to see something glittering, one of the first things that comes to your mind is something valuable, a treasure. And so as I walked towards this object, my heart was filled with all kinds of anticipation. But yet when I saw the object that was glittering, my heart sank because it was a piece of worthless trash. It was a chewing gum wrapper that was reflecting the sun and was glittering. But sometimes our religious life is like that. We give the impression or the appearance that it is something valuable, something tremendous. But upon closer examination, people soon discover that it's absolutely worthless. And so let me ask you, what is the purpose of your religion? To some, religion is nothing more than an opportunity to exploit other people for their money. To some, religion is selfishly motivated. It's do unto others before they do it unto you. To others, religion fills some type of emotional void in their lives by giving to them a sense of meaning or a sense of purpose, even identity. And to some, religion is used to help alleviate conflict or stress in one's life by providing guidance or counsel in difficult situations. Yet, none of these ideas has any real correlation to what James is saying. These various concepts are largely self-centered, whereas James tends to connect one's religion or religious expression to self-denial. I mean, after all, doesn't it take a certain level of self-denial to control one's tongue? Now, you know as well as I do that there are people out there who sometimes make us want to lose our religion. And doesn't it take a certain level of self-denial to take the time and the effort to help care for the weak and the helpless, especially when we could be doing something else? And doesn't it take a certain level of self-denial to keep oneself from being polluted by the things of this world? Well, of course it does. And this is more in line with James's understanding of true religion. Well, James begins by making a very interesting statement. In verse 26, James says, "If anyone among you thinks he is religious." Now, there are two important terms in this phrase that I want us to note. First of all, religious, and the second term is thinks. First, what does James mean by religious? Well, the particular form of this Greek word, thriskos, is used only one time in Scripture, and that's here in James chapter 1 and verse 26, the first religious term. Although its derivative, threskia, which is also found here in James chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, the second and the third of these terms, and which is also the more commonly used term, but since they are so similarly translated, we may ask, what's the difference? Well, the difference lies primarily in their perspective. Threskia, which is the more common term, tends to speak more of the outward duties or the outward service of God. It focuses more on the things that are done in relationship to our service to Christ. On the other hand, thriskos, the one that is found in verse 26, the first term, is more demonstrative. That is, it describes how things are done, the careful manner in which we perform our responsibilities in Christian service. Now, what James is doing is to set forth a contrast of religious expression between that which is unreal and deceptive and that which the Father considers to be authentic or genuine. James is saying that religion is not limited to mere outward activity, but it also involves a genuine heart of those things as well. It involves acts of mercy, love, and holiness, and the way that we perform these things. Now, the second term is think. This comes from a Greek verb which means to imagine, to consider, or to appear. And it relates the subjective opinion that we develop about something. Now, this opinion may be right or it may be wrong, but it's something that we think. So in reality, James is describing or addressing the individual who consistently thinks of himself or who considers himself to be doing all of the right things and to be doing them in the right way. Well, the way that James presents this statement, and especially in coming before his positive description of religion in verse 27, seems to indicate that many of his readers, and for that matter, many Christians today, are operating under a delusion of what it means to be religious. Quite often we operate under the delusions of the evaluations that we make about ourselves. And have you ever noticed how kind we are about the assessments that we make regarding ourselves? And how realistic, or perhaps even tougher, we are about the assessments that we make regarding others? Well, there's a great concern for James to communicate the need for realness in religion among believers. Now, let me ask you something. Are you for real when it comes to your outward expression of religion? Or are you hiding part of yourself? If every area of your life were revealed, would you be embarrassed or ashamed? It's been said that too many Christians today have too much on the showroom floor, but nothing in the warehouse, indicating that we are a generation of people who are more concerned in our appearances or how we present ourselves than what we really have in stock. That is, to meet the needs and the expectations of those that we minister unto. When there's a commitment, for whatever reason, to the externals of religious expression, without genuine attitudes and acts of mercy and love and holiness, eventually there's going to be a serious breakdown in our life. And I think that James has done an excellent job to capture some of these points of religious breakdown. And this brings us to our first major point. True religion demonstrates the control of one's tongue. Notice what James says in verse 26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart. Now, James will develop his theology on the tongue more in depth later on. But here it appears that he is making reference to those who consistently speak what's on their mind without much thought or without much concern as to whom it may affect or even hurt. Now, the tongue is basically a reflection of the heart. The book of Proverbs teaches us that so as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. In other words, what goes on internally tends to reflect the real us. And the mouth gives us an entranceway into seeing the reality of what we are on the inside. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, with the same basic idea, Jesus, speaking to the Pharisees, said, "Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things?" And the reason for this is, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, the mouth or the tongue simply reveals what's going on within us. The reality of who we are is primarily on the inside. Even though we may be saved and have the capacity to develop new desires and a new way of viewing life, we can still be influenced by sin. If we're not practicing the Word, if we're not cultivating our spiritual life in Christ, our hearts can become darkened with sin by the influence of sin. And so the manner and the context in which we speak will often expose to others the level of our spirituality. But many Christians have not learned the discipline to control their tongues. And again, according to James, if we cannot control our tongues through Christ, then our religion is vain. It's useless. It's empty. It's good for nothing. Now, I also want you to notice that James uses the term bridle in connection with the use of the tongue. The term bridle means to curb, to control, or to restrain. This simply means that we are to be in control of our tongue and not the tongue in control over us. Now, sometimes we pretend to be Christians, but the usage of our tongues sometimes gives us away. Now, there's an old saying that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, this sounds good, but often it's just simply not true. Words can hurt very badly. They can cut into our souls very deeply, deeper than any knife and leave great emotional wounds and scars. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 22, the writer says that the words of a talebearer are as wounds. Now, from our own personal experiences in life and from the teachings of God's Word, we know that speaking evil of someone can only bring about needless suffering and destruction. Long-term friendships can be ruined, marriages and homes can be broken up, and churches even split by the negative usage of the tongue. Nothing good is ever accomplished by a tongue that is deceitful, a tongue that lies, gossips, slanders, or harms in any way. A few seconds of damage can take a long time to heal, even among Christians. Now, the lack of control of our tongues also includes a sense of deception. The term deceives means to cheat or to mislead. From this, we observe that if we consider ourselves to be religious, but yet fail to control our tongue, we are actually deceiving ourselves. We are cheating ourselves and those to whom we could be ministering unto. Our life will be a total deception of the Christian life because we will be giving a distorted view of what being a Christian really means. And this is one of the major reasons why James describes this man's religion as vain. It's worthless because it's useless to anyone, even to ourselves. Evil words hurt, they tear down, and they destroy. They create problems, not only for the one spoken against, but also for the one doing the evil speaking. Because you see, Christians cannot speak evil of others and be free from the righteous condemnation of God. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36, Jesus says, "But I say unto you that for every idle word that men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment." Now, I don't know about you, but for me, that's a very sobering thought, to think that my words will come back and haunt me. You see, instead of using our words negatively, we are to use them in a very positive way, for praise and worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to use our words to witness of the saving grace of Jesus Christ, to share the gospel in evangelism. We are to use our words as a blessing to others, to bring comfort and assurance to them in time of need. So remember that true religion is demonstrated by the control of one's tongue. Now, the second point is that true religion is demonstrated by caring for those who are weak and helpless. Notice what James says in verse 27. James says, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble." In the ancient world, which was often brutal and very callous, two of the most helpless kinds of people normally encountered were widows and orphans, because they had no one to protect them, no one to provide for them. And so James tends to be saying that real Christians will make it a point to try to become protectors of those who are helpless. Now, I'm reminded of the fact that in ancient Rome, that children, if they were not wanted, were often abandoned to the elements to die or to be killed by wild animals. Now, some of these children were preyed upon by slave traders. They would come and take these children and place them in a life of slavery. But some Christians began to go and to take these children and to raise them as their own because they valued human life and they saw these as weak and defenseless. And so they tried to protect them and provide for them a life. In our contemporary society, women generally have more power and resources available to them. But as Christians, we still need to be sensitive to the situations and challenges that widows and children who are without fathers have to face. Some problems such as loneliness and isolation. Now, when James says to visit, primarily he's talking about caring for them. But we should also keep in mind the basic or the normal meaning of visit, which simply means spending time with these people who are lonely, who are isolated from perhaps the major part of society. And let me encourage you to know that this is not simply the responsibility for pastors or deacons or any type of church visitation. This is a responsibility that is given to all believers. Now, in a very similar way, children in single-parent homes need adopted aunts and uncles, or perhaps even grandparents, to help make up what might be lacking in their experiences and development, spiritually, emotionally, and even in society. Now remember that God has given responsibility to the church, not the government, to care for the weak in this way. And so let me ask you, what are you doing to find out what you can do to help with widows and single parents? Do you know of those in your church or in your neighborhood who fits this category? Do these children need surrogate fathers or perhaps even mothers to help make up what their single parent cannot provide? And widows or the elderly, ask yourself, what can I do to make sure that they're not isolated? How can I help? Well, consider what God would have you to do to fulfill this aspect of true religion. So true religion demonstrates itself in caring for those who are weak and helpless. And this brings us to our third and final point. And that is, true religion is demonstrated by keeping one's self from being polluted by the world. Notice once again in verse 27 what James says. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. The term keep means to watch over, or to maintain, as opposed to leaving. And so by its very nature, it requires a great deal of responsibility and commitment. In other words, it takes a lot of responsibility to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. It's not something that can be done haphazardly. It takes a real commitment to this principle. The term unspotted means absence of external spot. It's free from those things of the world that would compromise or threaten our Christian experience, anything that would alter our behavior as a Christian. Now, there are times when we find ourselves, because of certain situations, where we become polluted by the things of this world, if nothing more than being polluted by fear. Because we allow fear to immobilize us, to quite literally shut us down in terms of using our words as a witness for Christ or in our actions to serve the Lord. And so we need to purify ourselves from anything that would corrupt us. Now, the principal context of all of this appears to be that of trials and temptations. The individual who is in the midst of a trial sometimes has a tendency towards anger, and not with a desire to listen to God. But if we do listen and obey God, then we can learn to have control over our tongues. And not only that, we can also learn to take the opportunity to minister to those who are hurting. Widows, orphans, or whoever can be benefited from our ministry. And whenever we begin to follow through with this, we'll find ourselves breaking out of the mold of self-pity or self-orientation, because we are now preoccupied with caring for others instead of focused upon ourselves. Now, this is a basic biblical principle. If you're suffering from depression, if it's not organically related, and if you have trouble with self-centeredness, then do exactly what James is talking about. Let your life become preoccupied with others and meeting their needs, and then suddenly you will find yourself becoming fulfilled. You'll develop Christian character in light of this. Now, when you hurt, sometimes we do tend to become bitter towards God. And when bitter, it's easy to become spotted with the cares of this world. We allow the world to take over our lives because there is that focus upon self. So as long as we focus on ourselves, generally our religion is going to be of little practical value for us or for anyone else. Not much practical good or righteousness is going to be accomplished. So what we need to learn to do is to be focused upon others and their needs. In fact, this is the heart of what true religion is all about in its outward demonstration. It shows us that we can control the usage of our tongue, that we can care for those who are weak and helpless, and that we can keep ourselves from being polluted by the things of this world. This is what true religion is all about. But true religion, also at its very core, has to do with one's relationship with Jesus Christ. Because it's only Christ that can make these principles a reality. And it may be that you don't have the control of your tongue. You don't care about the helpless of the world. And you have these great desires for the pleasures of life. And in doing so, this may mark your need of Christ as your Lord and your Savior. These things do not lead to happiness. They lead to failure and to frustration. And so my encouragement to you is to seek Christ in all of the saving power of His redemptive work. It is Christ which will then give a proper perspective of what true outward religion is all about. It's not about you. It's about your service to Christ by meeting the needs of others. This is true religion. May the Lord bless you is my prayer, and for His name's sake.
You have been listening to the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an evangelistic ministry of the Primitive Baptist Churches of the Southeastern United States. We encourage you to attend one of these churches whenever possible. This radio ministry and its supporters are committed to the authority, the inerrancy, and the divine inspiration of God's Holy Word, to the Saviorhood of Jesus Christ, as well as to His Lordship, and that salvation is by God's grace alone. We hope this program has had a positive spiritual influence in your life. If it has, please write us and let us know. We encourage you to be with us next week at this same time. To find out more information about the Lighthouse, you can visit us at our website at www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. That's all one word and in all lowercase letters. Once again, that's www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. Please take a moment and visit us at our website. This program exists because evangelistically minded people like you contribute to it. If you would like to help us bring the light of Jesus Christ to a sin-darkened world, then write us at The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. Once again, that's The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. We would love to hear from you. Until next week, this is Scott Reiner encouraging you to light your world.